Stillman and Company rolls on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McKay, Mark Howard here with you. A reminder, coming up in an hour at 6 o'clock, it's Smashville Live with special guest, former Preds player Cliff Ronning. The Rat going to join us, and Predators president and CEO Sean Henry. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. During the Preds season, we'll feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. We've also gone virtual, so if you can't listen on your radio, watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. And also tonight, you have to watch. We'll be giving away a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Florida Panthers at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night. So be sure to tune in and watch, and you can see how you
Chase,
can
Chase, you remember the Ronning trade?
Briefly, that was early in my tenure as a Preds fan, so I don't remember all the details there.
Was traded to L.A., I believe, for a guy named Yuri Carolotti, who was a very good defenseman. Only one problem. He liked to smoke heroin, and it came out in a Sports Illustrated article and shortened his stay here in Nashville.
Yeah, that's not good. But I do remember my first ever Preds game. I think Cliff Ronning scored, actually. I was young, but I think I remember that correctly. So the Rat will be my guest tonight. Lindsey Rowley co-hosting as well on Smashville Live. A couple of news and notes out of the NFL as we get into more Titans free agency talk. There are a couple of more tight ends that have hit the market, even though one was scheduled to. So I don't really understand doing the, you know, going ahead and releasing him now. But Josh Hill is one, and then Jared Cook of the Saints, as the Saints reportedly are trying to clear cap space so they can re-sign Jameis Winston.
Jared Cook could hook on somewhere.
I think so. He was one of those here early on. You saw a lot of flashes, and then he's hung around. I mean, he's had some good years in the NFL, so I don't think his time is done by any means, and he'll be an affordable option.
He wanted to leave here.
Yeah, that too.
I remember he wanted to go somewhere where he could win. And it took him a while, but he got there. So good for him.
He's played with some pretty good quarterbacks in his career.
Yes,
that's for sure. So Cookie will be a free agent again. As we talk about the Titans, and we got into this earlier, we know that John Robinson's hands are tied when it comes to the salary cap, and there are other moves that he's going to have to make. To use the phrase, he's going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul. I mean, that's just basically how this is going to go. So he has to look at some of the contracts that he has in the secondary and say, well, I'm going to have to move on so I can address the pass rush. He has to address wide receiver, you know, whether it's re-signing Corey Davis or going elsewhere, free agency. And of course, the draft is going to come into play on everything. And so you and I've talked about this before. We've talked about it on Darren Donick and Chase. To me, it's the most important offseason in John Robinson's tenure with the Titans, because unlike the Predators, the Titans are in the window. They are in the middle of the window. And I know that the window can change so much in the NFL year in and year out, but they're there. They've won the division. They had double-digit wins. They went to the AFC title game the year before. They have the quarterback. They have the running back. It's now, can you fix the defense enough to make you be able to compete with the top teams in the NFL, most notably Kansas City, just coming off their Super Bowl loss, but they've been there now twice in the last 2 years. And so what are the splash moves that John Robinson can make to make this team better?
Well, to coin an old phrase, the good news is for John Robinson, the air is pregnant with possibilities. You know, you've got the big money guys like the Matthew Judons and maybe the Bud Dupree's and guys like that. But then you've also got some veterans who are coming off injuries who might be value acquisitions, like a Melvin Ingram, who had a lot of good years with the Chargers and got banged up. You got a guy like Tyus Bowser from Baltimore. Justin Houston, I think, still has some gas in the tank, and he is viewed as a great guy to have in the locker room, along with his prodigious pass rushing abilities. And a guy like Shelby Harris, coming from Denver, who doesn't get a lot of play, but who a lot of people really love. So you've got some guys like that that are out in the market and are going to be available, and I think available at a relatively inexpensive price. So I think John Robinson goes out there, maybe signs a splash guy. You know, who's that going to be, though, realistically? I don't see Shaq Barrett, Tampa Bay, letting Shaq Barrett walk away. Yeah. Yannick Ngakoue, to me, is a little bit overrated. He's good. I don't know if he's worth huge money. We know about Judon. Bud Dupree's coming off an injury. And then, to me, you know, the class kind of tapers off a little bit. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, do you roll the dice on Leonard Floyd, who only seemed to play well on a one-year contract? And you've got other guys like Hassan Reddick from Arizona, you know, Carl Lawson, Trey Hendrickson had a great contract year. So there are guys like that.
So you bring those names up, and I reference, because, you know, in sports radio, we always look at lists. We're all about lists. And NFL.com every year does their 101 NFL free agents of 2021. And I don't use this as the gospel by any means, but I'm always curious of where they have guys that we talk about that could be a fit for the Titans. So some of those names that you just mentioned, Shaq Barrett is eighth on the list. And I agree. I believe that Shaq Barrett, one, is going to be too rich for the Titans. And two, I think Tampa brings him back. I think he ends up going back there. Some of the other names, Bud Dupree, 12th on the list. And they mention a late-season torn ACL hurts Dupree's value, but he's versatile and strong enough to make a three-year contract worth it. I don't think it hurts the value a ton. You might get a little bit of a discount there, but I don't think it's going to be a lot. But Bud Dupree is certainly interesting, and people that we've talked to on our show, you know, glow about Bud Dupree. We've all seen it, what he can do. If John Robinson is able to land him, he's the splash. Number 13 is Trey Hendrickson, who you also mentioned, a 2017 third rounder. He's 26 years old. You mentioned the stats, the contract year that he had there. They also mention a Shaq Barrett-like career path is in play with more production at his second stop. And then Carl Lawson is 14th on that list, also 26 years old. His stats, his numbers don't blow you away, but at all, you know, with Cincinnati, not like Hendrickson, not like the others that I mentioned. I mean, this year he only had 5.5 career sacks at defensive end, but I still like him. I still think he's a productive player and could come in here and be a part of the solution as they add through the draft and then other free agents as well.
Yeah, there are some good, but a lot of those guys that you mentioned, the elite guys, could cost $16 to $20 million a year, and you wonder if that's too rich for John Robinson's blood. And that's why, you know, you might have to look at sort of the next tier of players, and you know, all of them sort of have fangs, you know, attached to them. I mean, they keep talking about Clowney coming back here. You've got to be kidding me.
So you're okay.
You've got to be kidding me.
I was going to bring him up because they have him 16th on the list. And when I saw that, I'm like, huh?
Let him be somebody else's headache.
Yeah. And I know yesterday Jared about had a heart attack because the morning show ran a poll of would you bring him back at $8 million? And I would not. If you get through this process of free agency and you land the guys you want and you draft the guys you want and you feel better and you still got room to play with, and he's out there for $4 million, which he won't take, then I'll talk. But other than that, no.
If they bring him back, John Robinson risks looking like Wile E. Coyote. like he thinks he's going to catch Roadrunner the second time around. Remember, Wile E. Coyote never gave up, but the Acme anvil always landed on his head. And this seems to be a recurring situation with Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, you tried it, and I was for it, and it didn't work out. So also looking at this list, there are some names that are members currently until the league year starts of the Titans roster that they could possibly bring back. Number 27 on the list is Jonnu Smith. They say closer to a poor man's Gronk or Delanie Walker than a Travis Kelce type, Smith's value goes beyond the box score. He's an incredible red zone weapon. Could not agree with that more. We've seen that. I mean, think about how many times that they've gone to him in the red zone. I remember the catch he had last year in the playoffs in Baltimore, just an amazing one for a touchdown. And as we said earlier in the show, if you get him back, either re-sign him or get him back on the franchise tag, I don't think that's bad at all.
But here's what I fear about Jonnu Smith, that an NFL team, you know, when he goes through free agency and he gets to interview and, you know, suddenly you've got an offensive coordinator, you know, ask him a question. And that is, you know, Jonnu, what's the most balls that you've caught in your career? And Jonnu Smith's answer is going to be 41. And he goes, they don't throw to you enough. You had 65 targets this past year, but he is an underutilized asset. Everybody's sort of projecting what he can be and really not what he is. So that's sort of interesting to me.
Yeah, and you're right. And I think that if they bring him back, you know, based on what I know about receiver, because I've said from the beginning that I didn't think Jonnu Smith or Corey Davis would be back. Now I've kind of changed my mind a little bit on Jonnu Smith simply because of the tag and what that number would be. But let's say for a second that he is back, Corey Davis is not. You clearly have to get more, you know, wide receivers than A.J. Brown, but maybe you don't replace Corey Davis with the, you know, the production that he had last year, and that goes on Jonnu Smith. And so then you're Jonnu Smith, and that number goes up, like you're saying, the number of receptions goes up, and he becomes more of a go-to target.
Like say the Packers come around.
Okay.
And they're going to tell him, and they can point it out, Aaron Rodgers loves throwing to his tight end. You could get over 100 targets here. Jonnu Smith's going to think long and hard about having a chance to win a Super Bowl and getting a lot more targets in Green Bay.
Yeah, so that's where I think the whole franchise tag comes into play. I mean, if they tag him, that's it. You know, he's here for a year. And that's why I think that might be the best play, because my whole reasoning of saying that he wasn't going to come back was basically what you just said. Another team was going to be willing to pay him more to come there based on what they think he can do and pairing him with the right person. But I will say this too. He and Tannehill, there was an instant chemistry there. They got on the same page early, but are they going to use him enough and have his numbers go up? That to his liking, time will tell. He'll see what the new offensive coordinator will do here with the Titans. And so I thought it was interesting that he was there at 27. And then I mentioned Corey Davis just a few minutes ago. He's on this list as well at 32. And they say, consider it a red flag that the Titans thought so little of Davis a year ago that they didn't exercise his fifth-year option after he recorded 984 yards in 14 games. They may regret that decision like they regret letting Jack Conklin walk a year ago. I still agree with John Robinson not picking up the fifth-year option. It was the right move, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I just think this time around, the Titans don't have that luxury, especially with the cap down. They got to prioritize, and I think they feel like they can get a number two receiver a lot cheaper than Corey Davis.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take your calls on this. Some of you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. You can call or text. And what would you classify as a splash move for John Robinson in free agency? We'll discuss that when we come back here on Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back here, Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5, the game streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're delivered by TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with five-star service. Chase McKay, Mark Howard here with you. Ian Safar back at the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, doing a great job keeping us on the rails here. You can weigh in on the show, 615-737-1025 on the text or phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, as we talk about Titans free agency and what exactly is a splash when it comes to the Tennessee Titans and the moves that John Robinson could make this offseason with free agency. I mean, in my opinion, that could be re-signing Corey Davis to a deal that fits and keeping, you know, keeping him here and keeping some of the core players intact when it comes to your top two wide receivers. It could also be bringing in one of these pass rushers that we have been talking about here on the show from this NFL 101 list of free agents. But let's go to the phone. Ellie wants to weigh in. Pass rush in the draft. Welcome in.
Yeah, I wouldn't waste my money on the pass rushers that are out there. You're not going to get the bang for the buck. If I'm going to do anything, I might bring Jarrell for like a cheap, cheap contract. And I think what the big splash is going to be on the offensive end. I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans get Juju Smith-Schuster. And they should draft in the first round of pass rusher, second round, if they could get that tight end from Penn State, then third round pass rusher, fourth round pass rusher, fifth round pass rusher, sixth round pass rusher, and see if they could find something. Because I'm not going to pay anyone more than $1 million per sack, and the only person that might be even worth the money that they would pay would be Shaquille Barrett. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate the call. Jarrell Casey not coming back, I believe. It is as nice as it would be. I just don't think that's going to be a reunion there. And I'm also, like, I know you have to address pass rush, Mark. I mean, clearly, we've been talking about that, but I'm also not going to spend every draft pick except for one or two on that as well. Free agency, that's what it's there for. You're going to have to address it there, too.
Yeah, I think that's a goofy free agent strategy and an even goofier draft strategy. There are guys out there. I mean, you place a value on every player. You don't have to, you know, just totally, you know, blow the bank account. But there are a lot of good value free agents out there, especially because the market's flooded. So, you know, believe me, it is definitely a buyer's market. And just, you know, absolutely, you know, we'll see, you know, how good your pro personnel people are in terms of evaluating these guys. But the other part of it, I mean, come on. And Jarrell Casey. You know, Jarrell Casey had a great career here, but he's an undersized player who's coming off, you know, an injury and a season that he missed mainly towards injury or due to injury. I don't think he's coming back here. Plus, the Titans and Jarrell didn't exactly break good. You know, Jarrell saying that that he was, you know,
thrown
away like a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
So, or a piece of trash or whatever. So don't think it's great right now between the Titans and Casey.
Yeah, I don't either. I would not be against it if he came back on a cheap deal. I'm also just realistic that because of what you just said, the way it ended, I don't think it's got a chance of happening. And so that's just, you know, unfortunately, but all good things come to an end, and that's kind of how you have to look at it. Matt says running backs are cheap. How about grabbing a rushing threat to avoid the fact that the pass play didn't work anytime McNichols came in? I mean, you kind of hope that you're going to have you're going to have Evans. Deterrian Evans is going to be able to help you there, and that he's going to have more of a threat from that position. I mean, I saw flashes of it last year. He was hurt. You didn't really get much out of this draft class at all. So I don't know if I would do that. I'm not really investing in running back.
No, I would not either. I don't think that's a high priority at all. You might think you're thinking outside the box, but I just don't, you know, see that happening. It's a position the Titans feel like, you know, they're pretty well set it. And, you know, like you said, You know, McNichols, you know, is really their number three running back. So, you know, just, and you forgot about Sonoris Perry.
Yeah.
But whatever the case, I think they feel like Evans, you know, who at the end of the year came on a little bit, you know, could be a candidate to help this team.
We talked about Jayon Brown. They have him 44th on the list, you know, 26 years old, obviously coming off an injury, and he's one of those great finds that John Robinson has had in his tenure as GM. I feel like he's just going to command too much, and that's a position that you can replace. I mean, Jayon Brown is a prime example of that, of finding somebody later in the draft. So I feel like his days in a Titans uniform are over. What about you?
No, I agree, and it kind of sucks.
It does.
That's the side of the ball that they really need the most attention on, and they lose a starter and a good one at that. But, you know, they've already got, theoretically speaking, I think they feel like, you know, they have his replacement, and I really feel like, you know, for the most part, they have some confidence in David Long to replace Jayon, although I don't think he's as good against the run, you know, maybe as Brown is, and maybe more of a chaser than he is, you know, a guy, you know, who's going to take the shortest route to the ball, to the football, but we'll see.
Yeah, and also a texter addressed this, and I forgot to bring this up on the caller, but Juju Smith-Schuster, no thanks. No thanks at all. I'm good. I'm good without him. Number one, number two, I'm fine. I wouldn't bring him here at all.
Well, I just don't even think that's in Robinson's thought process. So I don't think you have a whole lot to worry about.
Yeah, I don't think so. The texter actually says Juju is not the type of guy we should be paying a bunch of money at wide receiver. His social media dancing on logos is a red flag. So not a fan of bringing in Juju. LC says, let Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith walk. Trade up and get Kyle Pitts. Get a cheaper receiver as well. Rest of draft, address defense. I love Kyle Pitts, but that ain't happening.
Yeah,
it's going to go too high.
I love Kyle Pitts too, but only in our dreams.
Jared from Nashville, I absolutely love Elijah Moore from Ole Miss as a slot receiver to pick up in the draft. We've had pretty good luck with Ole Miss receivers in the second round.
That's a possibility, I guess.
Yeah, I think it is, and I know I've seen his name mentioned with the Titans in some mocks. Because again, like pass rush, I do believe that the Titans, you know, may address receivers, you know, both in free agency from a cheap standpoint and also picking one up in the draft. I was surprised that, you know, it wasn't really addressed last year when it came to the draft, because it's a position of need. Even though the offense had the year that it had, you're still going to have to address receiver whether Corey Davis leaves or not.
No, you're right. I think they're going to, you know, go to the draft to maybe get a wide receiver. I think somebody like Rondell Moore from Purdue, you know, could be there in the second round. So, you know, let's see what happens. Elijah Moore is ranked kind of in the back of the second round by Dane Brugler of The Athletic. You know, and everybody's got a different opinion, of course, but that's sort of one guy who knows what he's doing has put more.
Okay, there's another text I'm going to read on the other side that after I bang my head against the desk. But we'll do that when we come back here on Stillman & Company. Chase McCabe, Mark Howard, here with you on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app, delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. Chase McKay, Mark Howard in for Jared Stillman today as he's off the rest of the week. Ryan Porth will be in tomorrow. I'll be back on Friday here on the show as well. So appreciate you hanging along with us. Smashville Live coming up at the top of the hour. Taking some of your calls and texts on the Titans and the moves that they need to make in free agency, 615-737-1025, and the draft. Of course, you can reach us on the phone or the text line driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com. Josh says this, and one thing I agree with, but the rest not so much. Cut Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler. Sign one cornerback for $7 million, another for $3 million. Draft one in the middle round, and you've got five cornerbacks and save $10 million. All right, I agree. I said earlier, I agree, cut Adoree Jackson. But you can't cut both, in my opinion. You got to keep one of them because you got to bring some consistency back when it comes to the secondary. And you got Christian Fulton that you hope is going to take bigger steps. I'm fine bringing King back on a cheap deal free agency wise. And oh, Chris Jackson's on the roster too. After a year, he showed some flashes. What is he going to be? But cutting both Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler, I'm not doing it.
Well, I will say the market is going to be flooded with cornerbacks. So I'm just telling you that is a position I think they can get at a really cheap price. I don't think you need to cut both of them. I'm like you are. I'm skeptical on whether, you know, Adoree Jackson can bounce back. Well, we know what Butler did last year, and that's what is going to make this a tough decision.
And it is, because conventional wisdom would tell you to take the younger guy because you think that there's more of an upside there. But I'm not going that way here. I just, you know, when they signed Malcolm Butler, I went, well, I like this. I like that he's here. I like the player, probably overpaid for him, but that's the price of doing business. And the production has just outweighed what Adoree has done. And so I don't go to conventional wisdom of keeping the younger guy.
Yeah, I don't think that's one that requires a lot of overthinking.
No, not at all. And then here's another one that I think, or I just want to get your opinion on it. Do you really think that they have the quarterback? Tannehill has yet to show that he can carry the team in the playoffs when teams are focusing on Henry. To follow up on my previous text, you either need to have a dominant defense or a great overall team to carry the quarterback, a la Peyton Manning's Broncos title win, or you need a quarterback who can take over the game like the elite ones in this league do. I don't think that Ryan Tannehill is elite by any means, and I've never said that he is. I have said that I believe you can win a Super Bowl with him with the right pieces. So I understand, but nobody is thinking that Tannehill is the elite game-changing quarterback and that he needs to be.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with that. Up and down, you know, 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions is not shabby. You know, plus, you know, you've got the best running back in the game, and he's great in play action. You know, we all know that, but this is not the time to start overthinking the quarterback position. In fact, you know, this is a team that has so many needs. It'd be nice to upgrade at backup quarterback, but I don't think that's going to happen. Is Tannehill elite? No, he's not. Is he a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback? No, he's not. But he's still really good, and I don't think he's their problem.
I'm glad you mentioned backup, because I wanted to hit that from two different angles, because I have wondered, when do they start thinking about the future? And so when do you address that? I don't think it's this year, but I do believe that it's probably in the back of their mind of, all right, we're going to have to come around and address quarterback via the draft again at some point. Maybe you go for it and they're in a similar situation like the Preds, where after you go for it and you throw everything you have at it at winning a Super Bowl, then you go into rebuild and you do it then. But backup quarterback is an important position. And something Darren brought up on our show yesterday was, do you consider looking at Alex Smith? He's going to be released by the Washington football team. Now, I think he thinks he can maybe be a starter somewhere, and maybe a team thinks he can be a starter somewhere at a reduced rate. But if backup is where he's destined to be, knowing the financial situation that you're in as the Titans, are you willing to throw backup money at him?
I would. but I don't know if they can fit it all in. This is not the off season, like I said, to rebuild your garage. You know, this is not the off season that you go to an area that really doesn't need to be addressed a whole lot and overthink it. I think right now, John Robinson's mentality is to go out and fortify his pass rush. And I think, helping his D-line is a big priority. And then after that, he's got the tight end position. He's got the cornerback position. He's got a few others. And, he's got a draft now with some extra picks. So that'll help him too.
Yeah, the backup quarterback position is on down the priority list. And, the Logan Woods side you haven't seen, and maybe they'll have a preseason this year where you'll see a little bit more of him. But they like him. Every time Logan Woods side is brought up and every time anybody brought up a concern of, wait, that's your backup, that's what you're going to roll with, I mean, they like him. I just don't know how you can be definitive in saying that if Tannehill goes down – as he gets older and as he has had a history of injury, that you go, all right, Logan Woodside, feel good about that. Alex Smith, I agree that, you gotta put the money somewhere else so it may not work out. But at least if Alex Smith was the quarterback and Tannehill went down, you go, all right, well, maybe we have a chance, because he won when he came back with Washington and changed their plans, as he said.
No, absolutely. I don't see the value of it. I just think you can't overthink this if you're John Robinson. And he's got a few headaches that he's got to address, like his first-round draft pick from a year ago. What does he do with that?
Yeah.
Is there any way you could get anything for this kid? I mean, can you believe that the guy has barely stepped on the field? He hasn't been injured, hasn't really – committed a major crime, but his value has absolutely plummeted from the first round last year. I don't know if he can maybe get a 6 or a 7 for him, but what do you do?
But see, and that's the big question, because if you get a 6 or a 7 for him, yeah, it's just a 6 or a 7 for a first round pick. But think of the money you save in the situation that they're in cap wise, and there's not a winning scenario in my mind. I mean, everybody's going to say you missed on a first round pick. There were things that you missed, and that's always going to be a stain on his resume. But trying to look at it as positively as I can, if the door is really closed on his time here, if you believe everything that he tweets and says on social media and the fact that he just hasn't been on the field, if they're able to get some sort of draft pick for him and they save the money, then I guess you just have to take it at this point.
Here's the other problem, Chase, and I haven't heard this mentioned much. We don't know yet what the off season is going to look like. We don't know if they're going to be able to get on the field with OTAs and mini camps because of COVID-19. We think that maybe it's better than it was last year, but is it better enough for them to have actual off season workouts? And one of the problems with Isaiah Wilson was, he never got on the field in the off season before they started preseason practice. If he doesn't get on the field, I don't think that's a good thing for the Titans or him. If they do, then maybe he can demonstrate to them that he's turned over a new leaf. But we are all skeptical, or most of us.
Yeah, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be skeptical out of how this saga has gone. He is Mark Howard. I am Chase McCabe. When we come back, we'll get back into the Predators to wrap up the show before Smashville Live. John Hines did talk today, and an update was provided on UC Soros. We'll discuss that when we come back here on Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Chase McKay, Mark Howard, wrapping up a fast-paced day for you, but stick around. I'll have Smashville Live alongside Lindsay Rowley here in just a few minutes. We'll be joined by Cliff Ronning and Sean Henry on tonight's show. So looking forward to that as well. As we wrap up some Preds news of the day, as a nice lead-in to that, they announced earlier that goaltender Juuse Saros is day-to-day with an upper body injury, and we saw the play last night, Mark, behind the net. It was a hit to the head. John Hines didn't comment much on it last night, but you know, did say as much. And so Juuse Saros left the game. He was not on the bench. Kaskisuo was the backup after that, because that's how the goaltending works this year when a guy leaves the game. And so you just hope that Juuse Saros is okay. But at least you know you got Pekarinen.
Yeah, absolutely. You wonder, you know, and we didn't have time to ask Adam Vingan this, if David would consider trading Saros.
Yeah, and I mean,
if he thinks he's on the block.
Well, if you go along the lines of what everybody says, and we have Elliot Friedman on from Sportsnet tomorrow at 1 o'clock, so I'll bring it up with him, but. You know, there are only a handful of guys that are not on the table, and Saros' name has not come up as one that has not. So I'd be curious to hear what Elliot thinks as well. John Hines did address the media today and talked about some of those injuries and how they'll affect his team.
Luke Cunnan was really playing well, so it's unfortunate to have him out of the lineup. I thought his last three or four games were really to the identity we want him to play with, so... it's unfortunate, but he should be back shortly. And then obviously with Ryan's a real important player to our team and plays a lot of big minutes, plays a lot of important roles, our assistant captain. So it's unfortunate that we have both of those guys out. But, you know, we knew coming into the year and any year you're going to have injuries and guys out of your lineup. So, you know, it's important that guys, you know, we're not looking for anyone to step in and take their role over. It's just important that the guys that come in and play and get opportunities that play to their identities. And I think when you have guys out of your lineup, it's about filling some of the minutes that they play in important situations with other players. And that's part of what, you know, I think any season is about, and I know coming into this season we figured there were going to be injuries in a shortened season, and if guys are out because it's such a condensed schedule, they may miss more games than they normally would. So next man up
mentality for sure. But it also, with what we've talked about pretty much the entire show, of if you go into a rebuild mode, I mean, some of those guys, you're seeing what you got now, that, you know, maybe filling some of those roles. But you do hope that somebody like Ryan Ellis, Luke Cunnan, that they can come back into the lineup and help soon down the stretch.
I really feel for John Hines, who from the day he took the job has been behind the eight ball and not of his own doing. And just when this team seemed whole, in one fell swoop, you know, they lose Ellis, they lose Johansson, and then they lose Saros. I mean, good grief. This guy's been through everything.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly has been tough going in his tenure, for sure. And then I asked the question earlier today with John Hines about getting the faster starts and the third period, something that, you know, the third period has been good, but the other two, you're waiting to see more. Here's what he had to say.
You know, I think some of it is, you know, there's a lot of them throughout the year, but I'll just give you an example of last night. You know, we came out in the game and, you know, from an offensive perspective, you know, our forecheck, arriving on time, being stiff and hard on the puck, keeping pucks in the offensive zone, you know, we were kind of late, we were a little soft, we weren't skating the way we needed to skate, and that allowed Carolina, I mean, they came in and played well. You know, but our objective was to come in, let's play fast, we want to be physical, we want to establish our game right away. And, you know, last night we didn't do it. We addressed it, you know, during the period, we addressed it in between the first and second. It did get better in the second, and obviously it was better in the third. But I think it's you know, we need to understand that we can't dip our toe in the water. We can't try to see how is the game going to go. There's a recipe that every team has to have, and we have ours. And, you know, if we're not playing a fast game and our competitive level, we're moving our feet, our execution, and particularly our competitive level early in the game is different than it is later in the game. And that's something that, you know, we need to really not be we seem to be a reactionary group. Like, we're going to go into the game and see how the game's going to be played. And, you know, that's not how you get off to a good start. You want to get off to a good start by dictating, you know, letting your work come first, your competitiveness come first, establish your game. And to establish a game, you have to have execution and you have to have a high competitive level, and you need to be able to put the other team on their heels. That's how you establish your game. And, you know, for us, we've got to get to it earlier. And that's what we're really addressing with the guys, is we can't react and try to see how the game is going to go. We have to come in with the mindset that we are going to be a hard, competitive team to play against right from the start, regardless of what the other team is going to do or what kind of game they want to play. That's the game we need to play. And, you know, we haven't gotten to it enough in the first period, and that'll be our objective tomorrow.
When I hear the head coach say that we're a reactionary team, that does trouble me, because you can't be that way and expect to win in this league. You know, all of their problems, what they have, what we've talked about. But if you're, and he used the phrase, dipping the toe in the water, being reactionary, you're just not going to win a lot of games doing it that way.
No, and it's what we were saying. You know, the map on the Predators is pretty easy, and that is get ahead of them early, and you've pretty much got them. And that's pretty much what he said. You know, that, you know, suddenly when you're chasing, the game becomes a lot different for them. And, you know, all too often, you know, we've seen the Predators playing from behind.
Yep. And that's, is not going to get it any easier with the next week and a week and a half or so. The opponents that they're going to have, obviously starting tomorrow against the Florida Panthers, a 2-game set there, and then a makeup game against Dallas and going on the road. Going to be a very interesting few weeks for the Nashville Predators and for David Poile as they figure out what is going to happen moving forward. That is going to do it for us today. Mark, always a pleasure to hang out with you, but everybody stick around. Smashville Live coming up next. We'll talk to Cliff Ronning. Lindsey Rowley will join, and the president and CEO, Sean Henry, going to join for the second half of the show as well. Ryan Porth is in tomorrow. I'll be back on Friday as Jared enjoys his vacation. We'll do it again then. Stick around. Smashville Live. That is all next. ESPN 102.5 The Game.